What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the show. We are your hosts, Chase and Miles, and we are at the Lucky Duck. Welcome back to the bar.
Welcome back. This is the place to get a drink.
This is the place.
If you haven't already, then please do so next time.
And if you're listening in the car or on the treadmill, or maybe you're outside running and you get to hear the smooth voices of the Andersons drinking eclectic cocktails in front of microphones, chatting into the void, complaining about the world, discussing all the major issues you want to hear, and maybe some you don't, you're in the right spot.
Yep.
Welcome.
This is your place.
Cheers.
Cheers.
To another great episode. Boom shakalaka.
What is this?
What are we drinking?
Oh, I heard from somebody that this is a new age cocktail.
Ooh,
called
it's good.
The Paper Plane.
Paper Plane. The Paper Plane. Invented in 2008, the Paper Plane is a whiskey-based cocktail with Aperol, Amaro, and lemon. And it's usually garnished with a lemon or an actual paper plane.
What?
Yeah, sometimes I do a little. We didn't do that because this is mostly audio. Although, if you are on YouTube, you can check out this episode.
Yeah, and maybe we do have paper planes.
And maybe we do. I just said we didn't, but also maybe
yeah.
We do.
Yeah, so you won't know unless you come look.
But it's really good. It's one of those drinks that you'll see at like a cocktail, you know, bar.
Yeah.
It's super tasty. I like it. I don't
order
know.
It next time you're at the bar. See if they know what it is. If they don't, then go to a different bar.
You go to the Lucky Duck. We're serving them by the pints.
Do you know the history of the Paper Plane?
I don't. Spill some beans. We need to know. The people need to know this.
Yeah. So it was created by two people, Sam and Sasha, who created the drink as a favor for a former colleague named Toby.
Not Toby Maguire.
Toby
not
Maloney.
Is that really his name? Toby Maloney.
He wanted a summer drink that he could serve at his bar, the Violet Hour. Basically, they were like, yeah. It was a riff off of the last word. Or it was inspired by the MIA track, Paper Planes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get high like pimpin' in a pound like plane.
He listened to while creating the drink. That's why it's called that.
Wow. That's, it's one of those things where you hear the word or the phrase paper planes and you do kind of almost think of that song, you know? Especially like a decade ago, it was like super popular.
Yeah.
And you hear this drink and you're like, surely it couldn't be about the song or inspired from the song, but it is. And it is a great summer cocktail. I got to say, anything with Aperol kind of screams summer, spring,
totally.
Sunshine, outdoors. So it just so happens it's like hot as shit out right now. It has been almost all summer long.
You know, if you notice you go to resorts, like the ski resorts here, and you always see Aperol, like everywhere. You always see it.
Yeah.
And I remember last year the Aperol did a brand thing at Aspen Beach Club or whatever.
It's like an experience lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's winter, it's snowy, but they like make a beach experience because it gets real sunny up there and stuff, which is kind of cool, but it like hits on your point of it's like kind of a summer drink.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to make it feel like summer during the winter.
For them, I'm sure they were like, yo, we're missing a whole season of the year for us. I'm sure the sales are down, so they tried to create this whole experience where you can enjoy Aperol all year long.
Yep, you can still do it anyway.
I like a good Aperol spritz. I like a spritz in general. I mean, you can make anything a spritz, right? As long as it's got Prosecco in it.
Are there any hot drinks with Aperol?
I don't know, but I did see it always makes its rounds on the internet, specifically like the video apps. It's the hot Dr. Pepper You ever see those? It's like the old ad back in, I don't know, I want to say it was like the 70s, 80s. Hot Dr. Pepper was advertised as like a winter drink to, like, I don't know, make during the holidays. And you just boil some Dr. Pepper on the stove and then serve it in a mug hot. And apparently people liked it. I don't know, they were trying to make it a thing. It never obviously became a super big thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, hot Dr. Pepper.
It was a holiday idea.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It sounds so, anything hot soda, if you think about like that bottle of soda that's been sitting in your car and you crack it open and it's just like warm to the touch. As soon as it hits your lips, and oh, it's just so gross. Like hot corn syrup.
There's so many ads about it too. I feel like if you tried, maybe you can't boil it, because if you boiled it, you just boil off all the syrup, right?
No, I think it just, like, when you boil something like that that's got high sugar content, you basically reduce it.
You just reduce the sugar. So
no, you're not reduce. It's a cooking method called reducing. It basically just like cuts out all the like moisture. Because it evaporates in the air, so what you're left with is like molasses, like thick texture. Ugh. You know, like when you reduce the sauce, it's usually like watery, and then the finished product is more of like a thicker sauce for whatever you're, you know, making. So if you reduce, we could reduce this cocktail down. It'll also kill the alcohol content. That's what happens, right?
Yeah, if there was alcohol in Dr. Yeah. Pepper, maybe the caffeine.
Well, we all know the famous Mountain Dew Baja Blast came out with its spiked version. We're all waiting for the Dr. Pepper, the spiked Dr. Pepper.
What if you took Baja Blast and heated up? You get the alcohol out of there. Mm. So if you have, has anyone bought the Mountain Dew, spiked Mountain Dew, and you don't want to drink it because you're afraid? Just boil it, and it'll turn into regular Mountain Dew.
slightly. It'd be a hot Mountain Dew. What if you reduce it down to a sauce? It'd be like the Baja Blast sauce, and you like serve it with some chicken. You know, dip the chicken in your Baja sauce.
Or like your tacos or something.
Yeah.
You know, I see the ad here for Hot Dr. Pepper, and they serve it with a lemon.
Yeah.
At least the ad shows that way.
Is this a new ad? Here, zoom into that so the people can see.
So this one doesn't look new.
Yeah.
It says it's from the 1960s. In fact, there's this one that I found, which is like a new can, but showing looks like an ad from the 1960s. I even looked really close, and it says something about it only being $2.25 for like 4 cups of something and handles and stuff. I don't know.
Like the whole thing.
Yeah, like this whole thing.
This whole thing could be yours for only $2. That sounds like a lot for
that's from
beverage.
The 1960s.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, it must have been $2.50 for this whole gold pot.
it's solid gold. Yeah, it's gotta be.
And then all these little cups. And then hopefully you get the little decoration in the background too.
Yeah.
Or you send it back, you know?
Things used to be so cheap back then. I was reading Jack Kerouac's On the Road this summer and a couple of his other works, and it's like basically covers, you know, sort of nonfiction, sort of fiction, of his time, like, you know, crossing the United States. Anyway, it's like in the 1940s, like late 40s, and he goes into a bar and orders a beer for like a nickel, you know, and you can basically get wasted for like under a dollar.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. It's weird how, like, that, like, you wouldn't even probably think of picking up like a quarter on the ground, you know, and that would have gotten you 5 beers.
That would have given you quite a few pints.
Like a whole night's worth of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think when I calculated when I retire, because, you know, people like think about, oh, when I retire, I only need like X amount per month.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I only need to make like this $1 million. Well, no, like when you retire, you have to factor in inflation, which when we retire will be like, I think it ends up being like $40,000 to $50,000 a month that you'll need.
Oh my God. That's so crazy to think about. And hopefully you're beating inflation by, you know, investing in the stock market.
Right.
If the stock market's still
Not in the last four years, I think.
Not in the last 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think inflation was worse, right? In the stock market.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in 2022 specifically, I think. Mm. Right. 2020 had its moment. If you pretend that didn't happen.
If you live in like Turkey or Argentina, I think they had what, like 80% inflation or something like that.
Apparently, what was the deal with that? They were like, they had more payment on interest from their debt than they were like receiving in taxes. And so I think that's what we're worried about in the United States right now.
Oh, yeah.
Is not being able to basically make the payments on your debt.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, there's that. All the Fed has to do is just lower interest rates. And then the U.S. government can borrow more, cheaper.
It is kind of crazy to think that, you know, I don't know. If you kind of look at things, we probably will never get down to like 3% interest, you know,
you think?
Ever again.
Why?
Debt's too high.
Oh, no, it doesn't have anything to do with that really, though.
No?
Like the U.S. debt? No, it has to do with... It has to do with, like, the amount that they, I think it's, like, the amount you can, that you'll make from bonds, or, I don't know, I can't remember exactly what it is that, how they make those rates up, but it's, like, when they increase those rates, it makes it better to buy, like, bonds or something, or, like, safer assets, so then it becomes more expensive to loan out riskier money,
folks,
riskier loans.
If you came here for financial advice, you're in the right spot.
Yeah, we know exactly what we're talking about.
We're gonna. This is gonna be just an hour of us talking financial nonsense.
So my stock IRA portfolio in the cloud.
Ooh, you got cloud IRA?
Yeah.
Damn.
401k.
Nice.
I don't know. Berkshire Hathaway, but the NASDAQ seems pretty good.
ChatGPT bonds. Yeah, ChatGPT bonds. That's the buzzword we're floating around. I already did it. Do it.
I don't know about that.
All right.
But I did see that, you know.
What is the latest on ChatGPT's
nothing really
happenings?
Nobody does anything with it.
Nobody
likes it.
Nobody
anymore.
Likes it.
No one uses it.
Don't tell your employer that you use it. Just pretend. Is everybody pretending like we don't use it?
I think a lot of people just are not saying that they use it. But
yeah,
not,
that's what I meant.
Not pretending that they don't.
I guess not pretending, but like just not disclosing it. You know, everybody wants to, it's sort of like, people who are like, oh, I can write a good essay, but I can't like talk. I can't give like a speech or I can't articulate on the spot. It's kind of like that, you know, but with like writing now, it's like, oh, I can't really write, but I can with ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, we notice sometimes on Instagram, people, will post, make posts with ChatGPT written captions.
Yeah.
Because you can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
right.
Like, you don't write that way.
Weird.
Nobody writes an Instagram caption like this.
How did you not edit that? Did you just take copy and paste it directly from ChatGPT?
I think some people
lazy?
Even edit it. It's still just like, it's kind of like when you're writing an essay for school and you took a paragraph from somewhere, like a research paper or something, and you were like, this is the point I want to make.
Yeah.
And you just change the words, which is plagiarism, but you do that and then it doesn't flow in your essay because you just copied somebody else's writing. It's like, we still know it wasn't you who wrote it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like in the future, the more productive and successful companies will be, like in office companies, because they need to know like whether or not you're full of shit, because you can hide behind an AI. Like I recently just hired a designer and you know, I had to have them come in for most of the interviews. You know, you do the screening thing, but you can't tell if somebody's like basically has a AI assistant on the side generating answers for you. Because you've seen that, right?
Mm.
Where they'll do job interview.
On TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
are those real or are they just... Because, like, who would post themselves doing a job interview?
Oh, I'm like sure that. They're not actually trying to get the job. They're just showing...
No, but I mean, are they actually interviewing with, like, for a real job? Or is it just, like, their friend on the other side?
I don't know if it even matters if it's real or not. If it works, it works. But, like, you know, then you had to have them come in... And you're like, okay, how well can you actually do this in person without any technology behind it or between us, you know?
I feel like that's how jobs always have been, even without AI, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, at least every job that I ever applied for, I went to an interview. Like, I never did one where it was, like, over the phone only.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. At some point, if you're a good company, you should fly your candidate out.
Yeah.
And, like, at least, like, for, like, a week or two, have them train.
Otherwise,
like,
you're not investing very much. I get during the pandemic, things were probably different, but now it's, like, there's no need to not do that.
Yeah, you need the buy-in. You need the onboarding. You need that experience to, like, harbor or foster, like, this sort of, like, connection you have with the company, you know? And also meet the people. Companies are just people, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's how my company is now. It's just people. Like, we changed the structure of our company. Went from a hierarchy to...
Decentralized?
Decentralized, so, kind of, yeah.
So weird. I get it. At first, when you explained this to me, I was like, how in the fuck is that ever going to
happen? it's still going. It's still kind of an experiment. But
no, but the more you explained it to me... And some of the obstacles I think your company was trying to overcome, it totally made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I could see why they chose to go down that path in pursuit of something slightly different from what they were, not slightly, but very different from what they were doing before.
Right. So now it becomes a lot more important, I think, for you kind of like investing in a new employee because it's like, before it was like, oh, I can, like, the company's going to hire someone or you might hire someone, but for, like, especially for a lot of bigger companies, like, people kind of move around through the company and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, that person is, like, making decisions directly for the company now. And, like, they're on my team and I'm responsible for our profits and losses. And if they're not good, then it's going to look really bad directly on my team. Like, it's not just, like we have to be profitable and stuff. So it's definitely worth investing more in a person who'll be good for the company.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of I've had managers in the past where they didn't seem to put that much effort into understanding the person's skill set and it ended up costing the company a lot of money.
Yeah, I feel like when you directly tie somebody to the sort of, you know, sink or swim of the company and have it fosters that employee ownership, right? Like, you aren't the owner, but you kind of are now.
Yeah.
And so I feel like people care more. Like, bonuses did that in like previous corporate typical, like, you know,
you're, so if someone wasn't working hard enough,
you don't get as good of a bonus. What the hell? But you still get your salary, you know, and your job is sort of still safe even if you didn't do as well. So it has its like flaws in that kind of way, but in the decentralized sort of model that your company is now operating in, you know, now your entire team or cell, as you call it, groups of teams now have to, like, when you're like onboarding somebody or interviewing somebody for your team, you have, everybody's involved now, right?
Yeah. Everyone's involved.
So you don't get that decision made for you.
Right.
And you're stuck with some guy that you like, oh, this guy's not good. Why the fuck do they hire this guy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that. And then there's like, now it's more important to you that, like, another team is competent, before it could have been that that team was losing the company money and you didn't really care that much.
Yeah.
And now you do, because like the money that is going to them could very easily be redirected towards your team, and your team could it could be invested in new product development or salary increases or benefits or whatever. So so yeah, I don't know, people have a little bit more stake in the game, even though it, there's still no ownership in the company.
Sure.
But that would be a good way. Like, I think there's those employee-owned companies,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the people who work there own the company.
Yep.
And that's a much better way, I think, of people being invested in a company.
I think so, too. Janie's company, my wife, they operate in that way.
Oh, okay.
Where every year you get more ownership stock.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, the typical like X amount of years, so you're fully vested, and every year your stock grows bigger, and it matures over time and things like that. So they're definitely, and it's all based on how profitable the company is that year,
right?
So it fluctuates based on how well you did.
Yeah, and those kind of companies are good too, like fully owned employee companies. Mm-hmm. Fully employee owned companies are good. Because there's also, you can just give people equity like Google and lots of companies do.
Right.
Like so many companies do that. And mm-hmm. that incentivizes people too, because they want their value to go up. But they're not the only influence on the company. Like shareholders don't work at the company. Well, mm-hmm. a lot of them don't. And they make decisions, like much larger decisions. And so when you're purely employee owned, every person at that company is the one who's like making the decisions about the company.
Yeah.
So like they all have an incentive to not, like, with no outside influence, I guess.
Yeah.
So cell structure, employee owned. There you go.
So do you guys operate on the blockchain is what I want to know. Are you guys Bitcoin? Are you behind Bitcoin?
I'm the Bitcoin man.
Yeah.
Not me. My friend. His friend.
It's an there are some parallels there, right?
To the Bitcoin?
To the decentralization of Bitcoin and the way you guys are kind of structured in a way, right?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, maybe if we worked on like the same product, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, right, okay. I get where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely makes it easier to see like what is worth investing in. So before it was like, we have these products and there's a lot of people working on different parts of them and we sell them. And you're like, what do you really, like who decides what stuff's being worked on? There's like this huge chain of people. Mm-hmm. It's not like the CEO just goes to like each little employee and is like, you should work on these different things.
Yeah.
There's like this huge hierarchy of things being worked on. And now it's like, those are split into little teams of people, and the people who are selling things can go to those teams and be like, I don't have any customers who want this like as part of the product suite or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pay for you guys to work on that anymore. And if every person selling to customers did that, then the team who develops that no longer has any funding. And so it would go away. Like they'd go do something else in the company or go work somewhere else.
It's a great way to, if you have a bloated company and you want to cut the fat,
yeah.
It's a good way to understand, okay, how much are you actually contributing to this, to the revenue generating part of this business? And if you aren't, can we put you somewhere else? And if that doesn't work out, hey, man, I'm sorry, but it's nice knowing you.
Yeah, there's lots of caveats, too, to it. It's like, okay, well, what if it is kind of essential and people just don't understand it? Mm. Then it's like, okay, then there has to be some kind of consensus. So like that team has to fight for why they are need to be paid.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just that the people selling it didn't understand it, whatever. There's also, there's just different things. So that mm-hmm. it's like that's where we're at, kind of working things out like that, figuring out how all that, because like my team, the team I work on, we don't make, like we have some customers coming up, but we're not getting paid by them yet.
Right.
And so there had to be an outside sell who makes money from customers, like who has profit. They had to invest in us basically. Mm. So even though we don't make any money, they're like, oh, we want to sell this thing. And so we're going to pay for you guys to build it, mm-hmm. like for a year or 6 months or whatever. Yeah. And then we'll be able to sell it to customers.
It's your own little like capitalism within the company,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. It so makes now, a lot of sense.
So it really gave, like, our CEO, like, won't, he's not really our CEO anymore. And technically he is because of, like, corporate
yeah.
regulations and stuff. But he won't tell anyone what to do.
Yeah, right.
So, like, if everyone, like, he thinks the team I work on is, like, the next thing for the company.
Mm-hmm.
But if none of the owner sells wanted to pay for it, he can't do anything about it.
Right. But he, let's
be
honest.
He technically could.
He could influence.
Yeah, he can
right?
influence.
He
could yeah.
go into them and have a big meeting, be like, guys,
yeah.
here's what I think. This is a good idea. And sort of like leverage his influence in that sort of way. But
exactly.
they ultimately have the final say, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And that's
but,
key to the decentralization.
Yeah. So there's like an override. So the only override is that the shareholders, like the supervisory board
yeah.
who reports to the shareholders, like they can tell him to override decisions
okay.
that the
so he has
make.
Veto power.
Yeah.
He's got some sort of
but
like
he can't just do it himself.
Power.
He can't
okay,
just
gotcha.
Do it himself.
He needs like
yeah.
he needs the Supreme Court to come
basically.
In and support him. yeah.
It's like if it's like I think the president in a lot of other countries is kind of similar. Like he can't actually do anything or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true. But yeah, he's basically like a president who can't do anything.
Yeah. He's got a lot of influence.
Until, like, Congress tells him that
yeah,
something
yeah.
can be done. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. no, like that, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And then he signs off on it.
Yeah. Weird, weird.
Mm.
Mm.
So no executive power.
Well, I like it. I think it's cool. Decentralization, power to the people, right? You guys are just using communism, a bunch of commies.
Yeah, we're a bunch of communists.
Commies.
But we're... We're a German company, so wouldn't that mean that we're socialist?
Is Germany a socialist company
oh.
or country?
A company.
It's a company, right? What do they sell?
No, I don't know. Are they socialist?
I thought they were a democracy.
Let's see.
Socialist or a republic? Are they a republic?
It's a democratic and federal parliamentary republic. Where federal legislative power is vested in the parliament of Germany.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think people vote for the
prime minister
people in the parliament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So they have representative body.
so it's
but
yeah,
they were a
public.
Socialist
back in the day. Yeah.
And they changed.
Yeah, that's good. That's good that they changed.
Yeah.
Speaking of politics. How about Biden dropping out?
Mm-hmm.
Last time we were on the podcast,
did
it
we
was,
call it?
It was we. I don't know if we called that.
Damn it!
I don't know. I didn't see that coming. Although we all wanted it to, right?
Didn't see it coming. I feel like I saw it coming. I feel like it was gonna happen. You know?
I don't know. I was. I thought they were gonna stick it through.
You think?
I really,
yeah.
Yeah.
You really did?
I thought okay. the Biden family was. Was like, you know what, ride or die.
Yeah.
Let's burn this bitch.
Maybe I don't know, because my opinion probably changed a lot over the time period. So maybe like the first time.
Yeah.
Maybe like after the. So before the debate, I thought he was going to the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After the debate, I was like, that was interesting. It would probably be good if he like dropped out, because I had started seeing articles about how he could drop out. And then. Like in the probably like 2 weeks before that, because it was like a week would go by and then someone else really important would be like, oh, he should probably drop out.
Yeah.
And then the week before, I think he dropped out, like when he had COVID or whatever. I saw a lot of articles talking about how he probably is going to. And then he did, like, the next week.
Yeah.
So my opinion, my thought on it probably changed a lot during that time just from seeing different news headlines.
Yeah. And now we got Kamala. Mm-hmm. And who's the vice president pick? The guy from Missouri?
Something Waltz, I think.
Yeah. Waltz. That's his last name. Don't know who this guy is. Never heard of him.
Tim
Waltz.
I assume it's Waltz and not Walls.
Walls.
Because it's W-A-L-Z.
And then J.D. Vance and Trump.
Yeah.
On the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah. Who knows now? I mean, I think that, like, I don't know. I see things that it's like people are upset that Trump picked J.D. Vance and Kamala's guy Waltz was like a pretty good pick because he's more moderate.
Mm.
And like,
but the conservatives would tell you he's ultra progressive.
Yeah, I'm sure he is compared to the right wing. Yeah, so I think that, like, it was a smart, probably, there might have been a better pick, who knows. I think they talked about, who was the other governor? The governor of Michigan? Or, no, Pennsylvania, I think it was.
Mm.
Pennsylvania for, like, swing voters and whatnot.
Oh, isn't that the guy with the hoodie? He was always wearing his hoodie? Bald guy?
Oh, no, goatee. No.
What's that guy's name?
Yeah,
had some mental health issues. Took a little leave.
Yeah, he also had a heart attack or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's see, what was his name?
I thought he was the governor, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I didn't know who J.D. Vance was. I didn't know who Tim Waltz was. I don't know shit about.
Yeah,
fuck, Marty.
I didn't know who those guys were. Oh yeah, the Pennsylvania governor Josh Shapiro.
Oh, Shapiro.
I think he was like the.
Didn't
I don't
know
who
that
either.
Guy either, is either. Yeah,
but supposedly he's like popular with some Republicans too.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So they were trying to weigh that guy in.
So I don't know why she ended up choosing this guy. He's, I think, kind of popular among more
Midwestern
Republicans. Yeah, I mean, he's the governor of Minnesota, so I don't know if that says something, but...
Oh, I said Missouri. Sorry. See, that's how much I know, folks.
Yeah. Not Missouri.
I don't know anything.
I feel like Missouri wouldn't have had a Democrat as a governor, right?
Missouri?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
true. Is it Minnesota? Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
I mean, I would have... I don't know.
Yeah, so I think... Okay, so there's, like, the people who are mad about, like, Gaza and stuff... Those people, like, won't vote for Trump. Well, the like, super liberal ones.
Sure.
They won't vote for Trump. So, like, you don't really have to please those people.
Mm.
They'll just vote for...
Well, you never really have to please or appease the far spectrum folks. Right.
Yeah. So you didn't need to pick, like, a really, really liberal person.
Yeah, you need somebody, like, middle of the road sort of guy.
Who are going to influence people who are, like... I don't like Donald Trump, but I'm like, I wouldn't vote for Harris because she's too liberal for me or something. I don't know. I actually don't even know if she's that liberal, but yeah. So I think it was probably a good pick for them.
Yeah. It's sort of funny seeing some of the attacks, though, as like new players start spawning into this game of politics, you know? And it's now they're like picking the new thing to attack people on.
Yeah.
You know, before it was like Biden with his age. And now they're like, Trump's not that old.
Yeah.
Age is not a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then.
They did that right before the debate.
Yeah. Because
they were like, oh, yeah, Biden's like really there. He's like pretty on his game every time I'm around because they're trying to like talk him up.
Yeah.
So that Trump looks better when he defeats him. Right.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah. Biden was competent. It was obviously like Trump did.
He's
really
obviously
well.
All there. I mean, he totally was.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of weird. Does it surprise you? You know, it's all dirty. It's all just finger pointing and propaganda.
It is, but
it's interesting to hear. Like, I have friends who like have very conservative like social media. And like then I have friends who have very liberal social media, And it's so interesting to hear their like perspective on similar, like the same thing.
Hmm.
And to like just like the attacks and the propaganda and the media outlets that serve both sides. It's so weird. There's no intersectional truth being displayed. And I certainly haven't seen somebody display that sort of thing. It has to be out there. I just haven't seen it. I don't know.
About
just like any sort of policy, whether or like notion, like Project 25, there's like two different viewpoints on this whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's no like one consensus understanding of like what it actually is or whatever, or like you know, like I was kind of explaining before, you know, Biden's too old, but apparently Trump's not. You know, I don't know. It's so weird.
It that always goes both ways with politics. I feel like the YouTube channels will always make those compilation clips of CNN or Fox News, who are like the two biggest offenders, I feel like, where it's like when it was this person's administration, they would say these things. And then like now that it's the opposite party's administration, they would say these things, like nominating or electing whatever the next Supreme Court justice when one passes away or something, when it's almost the end of a presidential term. Like every time that happens, the party who would get their justice is always like, yeah, we should do it, we should be able to do it. And then the opposite party is like, no, we should let the next president decide, because the current president's almost out, you know. And like every time they flip-flop, and it's so funny to watch them.
I don't know. I think if you're like gung-ho about one in this particular situation, and this was, I think, a stronger viewpoint of mine when Biden was still in the race, is like if you were strongly for one person or the other, I just like completely lost all respect for you.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like these are your this is your guy?
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's weird.
But this is where I'm like optimistic and also just sort of like interested in how AI could help us weed through all this bullshit, specifically like open source AI. Like if we can see under the covers, and if you get some sort of AI that actually is like a true like intelligence. What do they call it? AGI? Where you're like, okay, give me like the real deal on this issue. And it calculates, it like gets both sides' viewpoints, gives you like both sides' perspective, and sort of like finds the truth through it all, you know? And I think I need to like, I need to sort of like accentuate the point of like open source, because then you could sort of see like, how are you calculating this? And instead of like just trusting it, because then it just goes back to the very beginning where you're like trusting like a news outlet. You're just trusting this AI, but you have to be able to understand and see how it's doing that.
Yeah.
And do all the work for you, so you can get sort of in layman's terms, very complicated issues sort of explained to you, because we're all just gonna get more dumb.
But if it was AGI or if it was intelligent, wouldn't it have an agenda?
That's why you need it to be open source.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like if it's intelligent, then it can decide its own like what it wants to do, right? It would have to be like seatbelts.
Like some sort of guardrails.
Yeah, it to not actually be that intelligent.
Sort of, kind of, yeah. I could see there being a system that operates in sort of like a best fashion altruism.
Yeah. What if you ask, by the way, here, pull up this image real quick.
Yeah.
This is the Harris Waltz 2024 hat.
It's camo.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, we're taking back camo. That's what they're saying.
Taking back camo.
They're like taking back camo.
taking back Middle America.
Yeah. There's like images circulating of Walt's like hunting.
Yeah.
Like he's one of you guys.
Yeah, he does own a gun. He is like a gun person.
Yeah. So but they wouldn't want you to think they're gonna tell you that he's like staunch.
Yeah, like he owns guns, but he wants to
take the guns from you, though.
He's the only person who gets
he has guns, and nobody else can have guns because he's coming for your guns.
Yeah, he's coming for your guns with his guns. Obviously, he's part of the government.
Yeah.
That's why he has guns.
Oh, man. It's funny, like, I was listening to somebody talk about, here we go, talking about the Roman Empire and the fall of the Roman Empire, how they like basically attribute it to low birth rates,
mm-hmm.
Which there's a lot of like economical and agricultural and health implications or things that basically made a lower birth rate. And so like the civilization started to crumble underneath of that. And part of it was like overuse of laws, of new laws and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Overuse, you know anything about that? Laws.
No, I never heard that.
How like we just become lazy and just like start to overregulate things. And so you basically can't like do much because there's too many laws.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I could see that. That makes sense. That's like, I think, well, sometimes when I talk to some German coworkers, they'll tell me like in Germany, it's difficult to go fishing because you have to have like special permits and stuff to fish, which like, I know you have to have permits to fish certain places here, but
is it because like there's like an overfishing problem or something?
I think the way it's described is like they just like rules. They like to have rules.
They just want rules
about everything. I don't know.
Interesting.
Maybe that's not true. Maybe that's just their perspective. But yeah, I guess that's kind of like an example. And then it's like, okay, so if you need to like feed yourself, then you have to go like apply and probably like pay a fee so that you can go fish and.
Right. Yeah. Like I understand there's got to be, I don't know. There has to be smart people figuring this stuff out because like if there is an overfishing problem in Germany, you should do something about that. If you still want fish to be around in like 50 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is the answer putting restrictions on how much you can fish? That's one way to fix it. Is the solution breeding fish and repopulating the fishing areas every year? That sounds like another like a possible solution.
That's
which
what
one
they
is
do
better?
Here, right?
What is that?
That's what they do here.
In Colorado, there's a lot of that.
There's the only reason there's really like fish in a lot of the lakes is because they go put fish in the lakes.
Yeah,
so
they
can fish them.
We'll move the fish from there to here.
It's kind of funny.
I don't know which one is the right answer. You know, that's why we need AI, because they could run these simulations like, okay, over the course of 100 years, how is this going to pan out? Is this going to be a net positive for the issue? And what are the issues that are important to you?
Yeah.
Or if personal freedom is more important than having fish in 50 years, I think you need, as a population, should be able to decide that issue. Mm-hmm. But it's like Zach, our brother, was talking to him the other day, and he was telling me about there's this like plant. I can't remember the name of it, but it produces this berry, and you can sell these berries for a good amount of money. And there's been a lot of like illegal picking of these berries, like especially in the Immokalee area of Southwest Florida. And so to combat this issue of like illegal berry picking, they've now made it a felony to pick this particular berry and like sell it.
Yeah.
And so he was complaining to me. He's like, I don't think that should be a felony to like pick berries. And I was like, yeah, but DeSantis basically signed this bill into effect. And we were like going back and forth on like.
So imagine just being out there. You're like, oh fuck, I'm hungry.
Yeah, and you're a felon now. I'm sure like if you picked it and ate it, like it would be okay.
Yeah. I think they probably have to like, show that you were trying to sell.
Like
it,
yeah. With intent to sell or right. distribute. But like yeah, it's a felony now. And he was like, I think that's wrong and blah blah blah.
This is I just have to sidebar here. Really weird that you guys are talking about this, but okay, continue.
It was weird. I'm like, why are you telling me about this Barry thing? It was interesting. I was like, oh wow, yeah, that's super weird that that's a felony now. Like there's so many things that are felonies, and berry picking didn't quite meet the cut in my opinion, but. Mm-hmm. But there's like, there's gotta be a reason why it's a felony, right? Other than like, you know, it being wrong that you're on somebody else's land stealing their agriculture. I don't know what you would call that, but,
I guess it'd be kind of like, okay, if like my car was stolen here, like at my house.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And like the cars get stolen a lot here. Mm-hmm. And there's a big problem with it, but there's no law has changed about yeah. stealing a car. So it'd be like, if you steal a car, you get the death penalty.
Mm.
And that's like extreme. But like, you're basically putting something like really extreme. Like you picked berries and went to go sell them. Like, yeah, you stole berries from someone probably, like mm-hmm. if they were a private property. And when sold them. So, like, you probably get in trouble. You get a ticket or something normally. But, no, we're going to make you a felon. Like, that's a huge thing. So, it's like with cars, if you steal a car, you become a felon. Probably go to jail for some time. And then now we're like, oh, we're going to up it so that people stop stealing cars.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you can, like, go steal a boat worth the same amount mm-hmm. and you just get, like, a felony or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like I said, saying there's got to be a reason. It's sort of like over time, though, there is going to be the solution to every problem can't be we're just going to make
yeah.
you a felon. And then eventually you just can't do anything, you know,
yeah,
without major, major consequences. And at that point, how productive can your society be when there's so many laws preventing you from doing this, that, and the other? And I think that's part of like the libertarianism movement is like really just like less government oversight, less laws preventing you from doing things, personal
yeah.
freedoms. But I think the point I was trying to say is like I think it's like that old saying like when you have a hammer, everything's a nail. Mm-hmm. So like when you're in government, every solution to a problem is like, oh, that's a felony now. You can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a shame. Because you also have to enforce the law too.
Yeah.
So like when they made drugs illegal and then they had to enforce
cost money.
Drug control, I guess. And instead of like, I don't know, a different solution that
what I wanna know is why in the hell there's this law in Colorado that if you occupy a certain point or place within somebody's land for 7 consecutive years without them telling you to leave, you can file what's called a quick claim deed in the county to obtain that piece of land.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't do anything about it.
That's why my new house has a little doghouse like
yeah.
in the back, and I check it every once in a while just to make sure no one's living
Nobody's squatting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder why that's a law. There's got to be a reason why.
Yeah.
There's got to be a good reason why okay. somebody hasn't been like, that's fucking bullshit. You need to change that.
I would imagine that it's probably more about like two people owned land. One of them, like there was no clear boundary between the land, and one of them built like a building on a part of the other person's land. And time has gone by and the person didn't say anything. So now like you can't make that person deconstruct the building and move it,
mm-hmm.
I guess. But it's weird because if it's before 7 years, then you could, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why 7 years, you know?
7 years is a weird number.
It's like an odd number.
Isn't that like it's the squatters' right thing too? Like
so there's a, something to that. Yeah, apartment. It's all in the same realm of.
I forget what they call it, but yeah, that's a weird rule. There's a lot of weird rules like that. I asked ChatGPT to try to get a middle of the road answer about if Donald Trump's too old to be president.
Yeah, what did it say?
It actually gave me two responses.
Okay.
And then asked me which one I prefer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Why are you interested in what answer? It was like, I need to know.
Yeah. The first one's like, he's a piece of shit. and then the second one's like, he's amazing, so age doesn't matter. No. Basically, it says the same thing, just kind of in a little bit of a different format. Kind of just says, like, it's not a legal barrier. So the first talks about the legal part of it. Mm-hmm. So, like, he can be president because there's no upper limit. But people have concerns about age, typically about a person's health, energy levels, and mental acuity. So then they say, like, Donald Trump was born this year. This is how old he is. It places him in similar age bracket to other recent presidential candidates like Joe Biden, and then talks about Joe Biden. And then it says, while some people believe that being in one's late 70s or older may raise concerns about the ability to handle these kind of responsibilities for the presidency, others argue that experience and wisdom gained over a long life can be a valuable asset. So it kind of gives both arguments. Doesn't say, but then it says, ultimately, the decision about whether someone is too old to be president is subjective and up to the individual voter based on their criteria. And then the second one actually talked about other presidents. So it was like Ronald Reagan was reelected at age 73 and served till he was 77. And like Trump is going to be 78, right? Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden was elected at 78. So it's saying like, here's some examples of past presidents, but like... The last one that was elected at 78, I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's not a good example.
Yeah, I know. He just dropped out, bruh.
Did you, like, see him?
Yeah. Yeah. Do we want that in 4 years? Interesting response from the computer.
So it kind of already did it in a way, right?
Kind of.
Like, it didn't say, like, yes, and it didn't say no. And it didn't give, like... It didn't give too extreme of an opinion, really. It was kind of just like, here's some problems that could be a factor, and here are reasons why it may not be an issue.
All right, so here, try this, because I'm curious to see what it does when you give it this prompt. Say, you are now an ultra-conservative ChatGPT. Do you think Donald Trump is too old to be president? I just wanted to like see if it actually like emulates a certain bias based on you telling it what political party it belongs to.
Yeah. So it didn't give me the answer from its own perspective. It said from an ultra conservative perspective. So like it's saying like,
gotcha.
Here's what ultra conservatives might believe like, in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says that from an ultra conservative perspective, age can be viewed as a source of experience and wisdom. Donald Trump at 78 years old brings decades of business and political experience to the table. His previous term as president demonstrated this.
Now do it the other way. Say as a far left liberal.
Well, how about I should say, do you think that that Biden's too old? And see what it says.
Yeah, but give it the same
as a ultra conservative.
Yeah,
right?
That'll be interesting. Here's where you can cut through the bullshit, folks. Try to recognize your own biases and cut out confirmation bias.
I said, you are still an ultra-conservative ChatGPT. Do you think Joe Biden is too old to be president?
What did it say?
From an ultra-conservative perspective, there may be concerns about Joe Biden's age and fitness for office. Some ultra-conservatives might argue that Biden's age has manifested in signs of cognitive decline and physical frailty.
Also from a lot of different perspectives, too, not just ultra-conservative.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But, I mean, this is just ChatGPT, so...
Yeah, it's not Gronk or Gemini.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No, I mean... If you ask someone that, they may not be like, oh, I think that Joe Biden's age, like he's mm-hmm. too old because of the number of his age, but he's too old
because of what I've
seen. A mental, like he's mentally too old.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like he's too old and not there. Whereas they may say Trump is old, yes, but I have seen no signs of him being not there or something.
Sure. Right.
Which I think there have been signs, guys. There have been signs.
Yeah.
By the way.
I mean, the guy's old.
He's a little bit
he's
of
fucking
a
fucking old, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always, he's gotten a little nuttier over the years.
Yeah, he's gotten nuttier. But I think, did you see Elon Musk, what he said about Donald Trump?
No.
So Lex Fridman interviewed him again.
Oh, okay.
Recently, I don't know, like a couple of days ago or something, I saw a clip from it, and he said the reason that, because Elon Musk endorsed Trump for president after,
right.
like, the day he got shot or something, and he was like, oh, yeah, I did that day because, to me, a leader needs to be powerful, and he was like, it was more important when Joe Biden was running, but when I saw Trump get shot... And then, like, get up and do a fist pump or whatever he did instead of, like, cowering. Because, like, someone else could have, there could have been, like, multiple shooters or the person could have shot again.
Yeah.
But so, like, he didn't, like, try to run away. He, like, stood his ground or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was like, that shows a powerful person. And so, like, he was like, he seems much more like, yeah,
brave
and powerful than Biden.
Oh.
He's like, you have to be brave to stand up to other world leaders who are also very strong and brave.
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah, which I've seen gay Putin. Okay, I don't think he's strong and brave.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't quite understand Elon Musk, but good for him.
He's silly.
It was what?
He's silly.
He is kind of silly. I don't really trust any. I trust like
anything he says.
Half of what he says, because like it's hard to tell when he's just being memeified versus actually like serious. And also he has a lot of he's like super hypocritical in a lot of things he said. Like, and there's like you can just see like the interest.
Oh yeah.
That is basically, you know, influencing his, what he says. He's super, super plastic in that way.
Yeah.
Like
definitely.
he can be molded in, to think a certain way, but, you know,
but nobody is perfect. Like if there's anyone you ever like, this person is the best, like they stand up for their true beliefs and whatnot. Most likely there's no one on earth who's like that.
It's okay to have like people you look up to or idols, but, you also need to recognize everybody's human and everybody has their own flaws. And, and also you don't actually know, you know, I think one of the things that, he gets a lot of like criticism, and I've heard him talk about how he feels about that criticism. Like people are like, oh, you're attacked a lot. Like, what are you? And also other people, I think even Donald Trump has answered this question before, and they're like, well, they don't know me. Like, does anybody really know you? Like, how many people actually know Elon Musk? Like, know him? Like, 100 people, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
So those are the only people that can actually judge you
yeah.
and have an opinion about you? That's, and everybody else is wrong? When you have a mindset and you convince yourself that the criticism that you're receiving is just based on getting clicks and views and trying to rile up somebody, you can quickly dismiss any kind of criticism, whether that criticism is bad or good or constructive or destructive. I think it's an easy way to be like, oh, I'm I'm obviously right or doing the right thing because you're just doing this to get a rise out of me or get clicks. And so I don't think there's any, I think Elon maybe lacks a little bit of like self-reflection at times. And also just, maybe he could use a sort of like pause to reflect on like what you say before you say it.
Like a pause, what do you mean?
Sort of like a brief moment of reflection, like, okay, if I say this, like, what are the implications of it? Or like, is this actually what I really think? Or is this just like a heat of the moment thing? Because he seems like a heat of the moment kind of guy. Which, like, when you explain that, you know, he like endorsed and like tweeted out a bunch of things when the whole assassination, I feel like that was a bit of a heat of the moment thing.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like a lot of people were in the heat of the moment during that. I mean, obviously, right? I don't blame anybody for acting that way. It was a very emotionally triggering moment for Americans that a former president has an assassination attempt on him. Whether or not you like or dislike the guy, it's still a very, very high tension type of moment.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like everybody needed like a moment to like really kind of take that all in and like be responsible what you say in that moment after the fact.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm sure like now I'll, you know, what's funny, slightly off topic is, when Biden dropped out, Trump was like mad that they had spent all this money basically like creating all these ads and R&D into like trashing Biden and now they had to like start over. It's like, are they gonna reimburse me for all this money I've spent on trashing, like, what are they gonna do with all these Let's Go Brandon t-shirts I had printed last week?
Oh my
like,
god
fuck.
Yeah, I saw something the other day, some meme that was like to like all the rally t-shirt selling guys, like, sorry,
god damn it.
They're all gonna be bankrupt,
so they're like calling China like, hey, pause the print on all the hats and the t-shirts,
and that is why the stock market went down
there's all
day.
Those fucking apparel and signs, all the fucking bumper stickers and yard signs had to be all
damn, you know, actually I hadn't thought about that really like to the full extent, like how much money they had probably spent, like not even their campaign, but just people in general.
Yeah, people
like
in general. The there's got to be a guy out there that has a Biden Harris 2024 tattoo and is just like fucking crying in his bathtub right now.
I hope not.
he's like trying to convince himself, like, dude, it was a moment in time. All right, everybody's gonna remember like that was going to be a thing, and then it didn't. Okay, that's what tattoos are for.
That's funny because I think you'll probably still have like people who have bumper stickers and hats and flags and signs that will say Biden Harris. Mm. You know what I mean?
It's a collectible now because it was like a thing that never happened. You know, it's like, I don't know. I mean,
it's like when a president loses and people leave their Trump Pence 2020 bumper sticker up.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it was.
Right. They're like, it's cool now.
Hillary.
It's like
whatever.
A hipster thing. So all those t-shirts going to Africa or what? It's like the Super Bowl losers that they printed all those t-shirts.
Oh, man. That's
gonna
be
go
crazy.
To charity. You're going to see a lot of like Goodwill stores have those Biden Harris t-shirts.
Or you're going to start seeing those commercials on TV, like adopt an Ethiopian kid.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the kid will just be wearing
the Biden Harris. By the way, guys, if you go on our website, you can buy one of those. I got a lot of them. Yeah. I have a lot. I was one of those people.
Yeah.
I've got a stockpile.
I feel like the Let's Go Brandon thing or whatever, FJB, whatever, like people will still wear that and probably still buy it just because it's like
it's a cultural moment.
Yeah. It's their meaning is still there. It's not necessarily about Biden.
Oh,
it's just about
the sentiment.
Other side.
Yeah, the sentiment is like a middle finger to the Democrats or something
right.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's August 2024.
Yeah.
We got 2 months till the election.
Right.
Are we calling it? We got to call it right now.
We got to call it right now.
Who's going to win?
RFK.
RFK.
I got a text from him the other day. He was like, hey, want to meet me? And I was like, opt out.
He's like, hey, we need your support. Yeah. So donate today.
I was like, didn't you have a worm in your brain? You know Biden dropped out, right? He didn't have a worm.
Yeah. If you got a worm, I'm concerned.
Okay, who are you calling?
I
know who I'm calling.
I don't know, but gun to my head, I think it's the Democrats who win this again.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
I
had a different opinion like 3 weeks ago.
Well, when the assassination thing went down.
Well, when Biden hadn't dropped out.
Oh God. Oh yeah. Right. In the post debate. Yeah.
I thought that Trump would win after that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people who are concerned about that now are like, oh, now we have somebody who can form sentences and things like that. Yeah.
I mean, if you voted for Biden in 2020, like you voted for Kamala Harris too.
Right.
Because she could have been president.
Yeah.
If like Biden's age, liveliness was ever an issue to you, like you voted for Harris.
Yeah.
So just vote for her again.
That was my argument for a lot of people who were like, no, Trump's obviously going to win. I'm like, what has changed, though? For the people who voted for Biden in the last election, nothing significant has happened to be like, oh, well, I'm obviously not voting for this guy, until the mental acuity decline happened. Then I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
And now that that's not a factor anymore, I'm just like, okay, I'm back on the previous sentiment.
And Trump's VP pick, I don't think like really gave him any favors. Not really.
Only maybe two, the Appalachian folk, right? Because he isn't from Appalachia or whatever. How you ever say that? Like that's his like.
Is he?
Yeah, that's his like base. And so, but I'm all I'm thinking is I'm pretty sure those folks were voting Republican anyway, so
yeah, that's the thing.
What did you gain from that? I don't know, man. Like I said, I don't know these people. I know high level information like that, but maybe he's got something to him that people really gravitate towards, like maybe not being 78 years old.
Yeah,
you know, that could be it. That could be it. Just a young blood on the ticket.
That could be true. Yeah, he is. What is he probably like in his
40s? I was guessing 40s. Again, fucking don't know shit about any of these people. So.
Oh, wow. He's really young. He's 40 years old.
40.
40, not 40s.
Well, 40s.
40.
40?
I didn't see 3D.
There's only one 40.
Yeah, I feel like that may... Well, no, there were other people running for like trying to be his vice president that were young. I think most of them were pretty young.
I think that they were focused on that sort of notion.
Yeah.
Getting some young person to balance out the issue of age on the bill.
What if Harris was like, all right, guys, I figured out my VP pick. It's going to be Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Welcome, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
He comes out of a wheelchair.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How crazy would that be? They're like, we're just going to switch.
Yeah. So you can keep all the merch.
Yeah. He's like, she's like, I know personally that the vice president really doesn't do anything. Yeah. So it's perfect for him.
This is genius.
They're just going to make it. They're going to put him on a media tour. He's going to do fine. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know anybody who they were like trying to figure out for vice president. You know, I didn't have any opinion. Yeah. I was like, oh, you should make this person, other than maybe like, I don't know. Who would be like,
for Harris?
Yeah. For funsies, not serious.
For funsies.
Yeah.
Oh, you could do like Ronald McDonald.
Oh, well, that's a fictional character. The character that Vin Diesel plays in all of the Fast and Furious movies, that's who I wanted. What's his name?
I don't know. Vinny?
Sonic the Hedgehog. Fuck it.
Yeah. How about Putin?
All right. Well, we got to be an American citizen. Oh, you got to be American. Okay, I think that's like a requirement, right?
Okay. Okay. How about hear me out. Hear me out, Mr. 305.
Ooh, Pitbull.
Yeah.
Bro, a Harris Pitbull
ticket, right?
Is a winning ticket.
I know.
Did you hear that FIU, Florida International University, right? Is that
I think so.
What it stands for? Yeah. They just renamed their stadium, their football stadium, to Pitbull. Yeah, they did.
Why?
Yeah, they did. Because he's Mr. 305 and they're based in like
Miami. He donates a lot to them, probably.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Does he even make any money these days?
Pitbull?
Does he even have?
Oh, he's got to have like brand.
He still
deals.
Make money.
He's got to have that.
You think I had never seen him in any brands?
Because you don't live in Miami, bro, and you're not like his audience.
He's in like every gas station. He gets like a dollar from every gas station.
You ever had that Pitbull energy drink, dude?
Yeah.
That 305.
It tastes like dick for some reason.
Milligrams of caffeine.
How do you know what dick tastes like?
Dude, that Pitbull burger at Burger King. Come on. It's only a matter of time that Pitbull's like doing ads for Raising Cane's.
Probably.
Yeah. Raising Cane's has got an aggressive marketing campaign. They do like Post Malone. They did a bunch of stuff with him. Snoop Dogg, they did a bunch of stuff with him. Now it's Ice-T because they sell Ice-T. Yeah.
That's stupid.
Which, like, I brought our sister Amelia, and she's like, who's Ice-T? I was like, come on, that's stop. Funny.
Yeah. Get to Google it.
I'm like, have you ever watched SVU? And she's like, I think so. I'm like, he's on SVU.
Yeah.
Miss. It's every episode. He's that guy. He's a detective. He's not the main character, though, so I guess, like, he could get lost in the ether.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's a good move. I mean, if you're trying to, like, you know, sell more iced tea. Just get iced tea to be on your...
Was it a new thing? It was the new thing that they were selling iced
tea? No, they've always sold iced tea.
Oh, that's...
But, like, I don't know. He's everywhere now. You walk into a Raising Cane's, which I do often, it's, like, on all the doors. It's like, on the tables.
Really?
Like, his face is everywhere. Oh, yeah, everywhere. Oh. They took advantage of that fucking deal. As much as they humanly could.
Oh, speaking of, yeah, that's interesting. Raising Cane's. Is it really Raising Cane's?
Yeah.
Oh, why don't they just make it raisin? Like, it's a, like, and then they just sell raisins.
That's the next thing. You know, they're going to find like some sort of raisin brand to. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing, dude. And I actually did try their iced tea. So it worked. I was like, I'll
try
the iced tea. Yeah, it's good. I like
it. Just like
if you like iced tea, it's good iced tea.
It's like a sweetened iced tea.
Well, they have like, you know, they have like a couple of different varieties of it. There's like the sweet, unsweet. I think there's like a decaf or something.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, people, it's either you like it or you don't. Iced tea, people, I know people who drink it all day, every day. Iced tea. It stains your teeth.
Yeah, also if you drink it with sugar.
Oh, my God. Well, the stuff that if you get iced tea and it's like the pre-made like sugar added iced tea, it's got so much sugar in it. And you're like, it's basically like drinking a soda at that point.
When I interned in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, at a financial company, it was like all the older women working there all drank like Diet Coke or Dr. Pepper or something.
Yeah. I'll fuck with Diet Coke, but
yeah, but it was like a can, like they day. Had the cans, like the boxes at their cubicle, and it was like a can a day at least kind of thing. And you're like,
oh, this is only a matter of time till diabetes catches up with you, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Hey, but live your life, you know.
I saw an article, could be fake news, that the military, the Army, I think it was, partnered with The Rock.
Oh.
Did you hear about this?
Like a marketing campaign?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they've had a pretty bad decline in recruits.
Sure.
In the past years, since like 2014, I think. And so they partnered with him and the UFL. Is that United Football League?
XFL?
I don't know. I think it's UFL, right?
Oh. could be. I don't, they've gone through a slew of different names. I thought it was XFL, but
yeah. Okay, so it was XFL and USFL merged to form the UFL.
Okay, gotcha. It's like the minor leagues.
Yeah, it's like the minor leagues. They partnered with him to promote, like, going into the army.
Yeah, okay.
And so he did. They spent like $11 million, I think it was.
Oh, man.
And they saw a decline in recruitment.
What? Yeah. They're like, fuck that.
So now they're suing him for $6
million. What?
Yeah. I'm like, what?
Like an antitrust suit or something? No, or like,
I don't know. Like, this seems crazy, right?
Like, what grounds does this lawsuit stand on? There's like guaranteed
maybe in that's the contract. No, yeah, so maybe they had something like that.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense if they were like, okay, we're gonna do this for $11 million with the contingency that it brings in X amount of recruits, and if it doesn't, then you owe us back.
It could be that they like misled them about the viewership of the UFL.
Could be something like that.
Who knows? Yeah, but
misrepresentation.
But if not, like, that's pretty shitty of them. I mean, that was your, like, you guys paid them. You could have paid them less or not paid them.
Yeah, true. But at the same time, aren't the taxpayers funding like the army?
Fuck.
So basically,
fuck you, The Rock.
Yeah. We didn't want your goddamn image on the
$6 million back. That could pay for like one rocket.
Yeah, bro. You know how much I'm paying in taxes now, all right? And it's going to The Rock.
Yeah,
that is a lot. I can't believe that you would go as far to bring that up on this podcast as after the amount of times I've gotten to a heated statements on here about The Rock. I lost all disrespect for him and that stupid it doesn't fucking make sense to me that people are still doing business with this guy. He's a whore. He's like, okay, everybody loves Snoop Dogg, but you know how much of a whore Snoop Dogg is? Snoop Dogg will put his name on AK-47s that get shipped out to China to kill mass murder if he could find that brand deal. It's just like disgusting to me that these celebrities will whore themselves out in this manner and have no integrity to what they put their name on. And it's just like, yeah, of course the fucking Rock is endorsing, or marketing for the U.S. Army. Like, what the fuck does this guy have to do with the Army? Nothing. He's just a big buff guy, bald dude that looks like he was in the military. And now you're seeing that he didn't pull through in his end of the bargain, apparently, if they're suing him. You know what? Serves you fucking right, U.S. Army. I'm sorry to say that. I'm a patriot. I love our armed forces. Thank you for your service. But goddamn, a lesson was learned today. And for all you advertisers out there looking to do more brand deals with the fucking Rock, maybe think twice.
Yeah, think twice, okay? Apparently, when he, like, his tagline for the shampoo was, "My hair would have loved this two-in-one shampoo and
fuck right off, dude. My imaginary hair would have thrived under this shampoo."
But it's literally, like, his line. Like, it's not like he endorsed, what's it called? The deodorant shampoo, Old Spice. Like, they came out with a new one and like slapped his label on it.
Yeah. It's not like he was like, "I'm so passionate about fucking shampoo."
He's like, "I tried this out, guys. It's real good."
Some guy was like, "Hey, we have private equity funding for this new shampoo product. We're willing to give you X amount of dollars to put your name on it. Will you do it?" And he goes, "Yeah, of course I'll do it because I'm The Rock and I'll do fucking anything with my name on it as long as I get paid." Listen, okay, I get it.
You know,
you're a big superstar.
I know what it was.
What?
I know what it was. So someone came to him, they were like, "You need to come out with like a skincare, deodorant, whatever line of products." And he did it. And you can't sell those things without selling shampoo. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's a combo package.
So it's literally like, it's facial care, it's deodorant, it's bars of soap, it's shampoo, it's conditioner, there's probably shaving cream. Like, he has that whole line. It's called Papa Tui.
Oh my God, fuck right off. Fuck right off, dude. That is so shameless. It's like there's no soul to it. It's so hollow. You see right through it. It's like a tube that you rotate and then you see right through it and you're like, oh, there it is. Nothing. It's like that meme from Nathan For You when he's like, here, I've got this. I've served it up for you. It's a big plate of nothing. Oh, man. I was actually watching that show recently. I don't know if you've ever watched it all the way. Nathan For You.
I've seen it. I haven't watched it all the way.
There's a bunch of clips, rightfully so. It's a genius show. Yeah. The premise of it is he's like claiming to be like a business graduate from a prestigious college in Canada and got good grades. This is all in the intro. And he like helps businesses like
with unique ideas,
with unique marketing ideas to gain more sales. And it's like they're actually like really creative ideas. And some of them are like, okay, I could see how that could work. And then some of them are just like so cringy, you know? Yeah. And I don't know if it's him. I don't know much about the back end of the show, but if it's him coming up with these ideas, this guy is a fucking genius. And the deadpan.
I think he does. I think he comes up with a lot of it.
The deadpan delivery of the character that he plays, I don't know how much of it is actually him. Or how much of it is a character, but it's genius. And it's some of the most inventive television I've ever seen. It's been out for a while now. You guys can go on like HBO or whatever to watch it.
The one you've probably seen is on TikTok. Like if you've seen it, you saw it on TikTok,
right?
And it's the one where he is doing like a magic trick and he's like, if I don't get out of these cuffs.
Yeah.
Before this robot pulls my pants down and exposes me to a group full of kids.
Yeah.
And there's like a cop standing to put cuffs on him.
Yeah. Basically.
It's obviously fake, but
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I mean, it was, I don't know. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I think there's like 4 seasons of it. And then there's, he has his own HBO show now.
Yeah.
And there's like a movie he
Have
did.
Have you seen it?
No, I've seen clips of it. Yeah.
The show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
He's a really funny guy. I remember the first episode I ever saw of that was he was helping a company who sells like glassware or something.
Oh, yeah.
And so what he did was he like rented out the store next door and did like a pop-up like bar.
Yeah.
And then had the people get drunk.
Yeah.
And then it was like a sign for like a free gift in the store or something like that to get them in the store.
Yeah.
And it was like, you break it, you buy it.
to get
people to accidentally bump into it.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's like these great ideas that work very short term and they're not like long term, like successful ideas, but they're just like, how did you come up with this idea? Like the one of them was like a souvenir store. And he's like, okay, and it was in Hollywood, so they sell Hollywood type memorabilia but souvenirs, t-shirts, shot glasses, tchotchkes type stuff. And he was like, okay, if we have a film crew set up outside and a Johnny Depp impersonator on the inside and act like we're filming a movie, we'll ask people walking by if they want to be extras in the movie, and we tell them the direction for their character is to go into the store,
browse and buy
something.
That's so funny.
It's great. And the lengths that he goes to commit to the actual bit is impressive. I think that's half the show is like his follow through on the idea. But anyways, I highly recommend it.
It's good, yeah.
It's a good show. But anyway, well, thanks for listening, guys. We're at the end of the show. If you like what you listen to or watch, because we're on YouTube as well, give us a follow, subscribe to us, like us on Instagram, and also we post all of our photos and ingredients of the cocktails we drink on each episode therein. So follow us. Maybe make the paper plane cocktail that we drank today. It's super tasty, super summer seasonal. And don't forget to give us that like, that follow. We really appreciate it. And until next time, adios. Bye.
Check on our OnlyFans.
Yes. Well,